everybody, and welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, issue number 21. Holy cow, we've been doing this way too long. we've seen the same faces everywhere. Need some new blood. Come on, people. We've finally gotten through our run through the number ones of the new DC, so we're kind of, I guess, free-forming it tonight with no real schedule or plan. The new previews came out today, so everybody give it a look through, and maybe we'll go over, hit some of the highlights from that next week. So, yeah, we're just going to talk about some things that we liked. I know Joe just had to leave. He had a big, he had a treaty ready that he was going to go over. So we'll push that on to next week, too. So just a couple things that I wanted to talk about. This is, we'll introduce ourselves. This is Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Sugar Shane.
Jeremy Dan.
Ryan Sargent.
Adam Russell.
Dan Degnan.
Matt Lytle.
Justin Pinto.
Matt's ringing somebody up. And yeah, we just lost the famous Joe F., 20-year comic veteran. He had to go to a fantasy hockey draft, which is apparently more important to this than this. So we will remember that. One thing I want to talk about, Saturday was the opening of the Alex Ross exhibit downtown at the Warhol, and that was pretty cool. I wanted to go in and wanted to meet him and talk to him, and it was fun. It was really quite amazing looking at his art, seeing the actual, a lot of the stuff was the actual painted work, and he's quite an amazing artist. So it was really neat. You saw a lot of his early stuff, a lot of work in progress type stuff where you saw the pencils before the finished work, which was really quite fascinating, and had a chance to talk to him. Just a real neat guy. He grew up in one town over from where I grew up in Chicago.
What could have been?
My words and no. and I was fun talking to him because in one of the Justice League or Justice Society Kingdom Come books, he drew a picture of Superman talking to a gentleman in a church, and it just happened to be the inside of the church, my church that I went to growing up. And I guess that's the church that his dad goes to. So that was pretty neat. And I talked to him a little bit about that, and I just thanked him over about his body of work. It was kind of funny when I did talk to him. There were three or four of my customers from my store standing around, and it was just nice to say to him that these were all my customers because of him. Because it's true. I got back into comics when Marvels came out. I had kind of fallen out of comics, wasn't reading a whole lot, and somehow I got a copy of Marvel's number one in my hands, and that really kind of sucked me back in. So I told him that, and told him how much I appreciated his work. So that was pretty cool. If you have any interest in his work, I'd head down there and get a look at it. I think it's going to be there for quite a while. So
January.
Yeah.
Did you get anything signed?
I didn't. I thought about it, but most of the books that I have of his, I already bought signed. And I have a nice painting of his, reproduction painting, but, a lithograph. And it's signed, and so I didn't really need anything signed. And plus, it was like an art exhibit. I didn't know, can you walk in there with something? It was just would have been kind of awkward if you could, and then you're walking around the whole time carrying something. So, I think even here, I think I bought a collection that has all of Marvel's signed by him. So it's not hard to get stuff signed by him. So, but it was just kind of nice, and I got a picture. I just put up on Facebook. I'll put it up somewhere else too.
It is hard to get stuff signed by him in person.
Well, true.
He doesn't do a lot of appearances.
Right. Yeah, but I didn't want to impose. I really wanted to say thank you to him.
That's just what made this weekend so cool.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a lot of personal appearances. Yeah. So.
Well, I didn't even hear about this until you posted on Facebook the day before, and I was so disappointed because I couldn't go. But that's awesome that you got to go and have a good time. And if the exhibit's going to be there longer, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to try and
He won't be there, but it was. Yeah.
But at the very least, just to see.
Yeah, go see.
He's not going to stay there for his.
No, not that I know.
This is at the Warhol Museum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that's really awesome.
Up on the north side.
I like to see any of the museums. Really, I like to see them sort of take. Sort of pop culture in that direction, in comics direction. I mean, Warhol even kind of worked with sort of, he wasn't Roy Lichtenstein style, but, he worked a lot with the printing and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see them.
It was neat.
Something like that.
In the one room, they put his influences, and it was kind of neat seeing, a Rockwell picture and then one that he did. And you can see, it wasn't a copy, but you see where he got his influences
That's
and
awesome.
stuff.
Did they have a lot of stuff of his? Like,
yeah.
It was, like, filled pretty much?
Yeah, it was a whole floor. Crazy. Well, I don't know if it was a whole floor, but it was the rooms we could get into. It was the whole floor of that room.
I assume it's, like, sort of a runs the gamut of his work. It's not just, like...
Yeah, no, there's Marvel, cakes, there's a DC, there's some of his early stuff, like when he was, like, 12, drawing his
own
comic books. It was very cool.
Wow.
Even some of his mom's stuff. That was
That's really cool.
She was really good, too, and you can see the influence she had on him.
Awesome.
But, yeah, no, it was very, very cool.
What was his, like, skill level at that age, though? Like, was
better
it,
than me.
Was it
yeah, better than me
that's
now.
What I
mean,
hand.
Not that that's much, but, you know. He can probably do better with his left hand than I can. But, but no, it was really, it was quite neat. And there was even stuff from when he was real little, like 4 or 5. That was kind of, you know, in crayon. You know, so it's, he sent along everything. So it was neat. One other thing I want to talk about, the news is kind of broke today about Haven Distributors closing down. They were kind of a indie distributor for some of the smaller publishers that Diamond wouldn't carry, and I know like they handled Boom and Archie stuff. It's kind of sad to see them go. I feel partially to blame only because I did have an account with them, but I never actually ordered anything. And I'm reading online, you know, people sad that Diamond's the only one left. But I can understand why Haven didn't make it just from the store point of view, only because most stores are exactly like me. I'm a one-man show. I do have some help here, but mostly like sorting stuff, moving stuff. I'm the only one that does the ordering and stuff, and I just honestly don't have time in the week to, you know, handle all the Diamond stuff and try to go out and find other stuff. It was, you know, if it's presented to me, yes, I'd be happy to order it, but it's really hard. Every time I'd go on there, there'd be one or two things I'd want, and you're not going to place an order for one or two books. So I think they had an uphill battle, and it just really didn't work out. And, yeah, nothing against them, nothing against the indie guy. I order as much as I can, but going out and trying to find that, you know, little exclusive small book is hard. You know, there's just really, you know, if I had, you know, 2 or 3 people combing the internet, we might be able to. But people are saying, you know, this is why digital is going to work. But I go, you know, I know you guys aren't going to have time to, you're going to, you know, even if everything switched to digital, you'd get the books that you like. But finding that new little thing is going to be hard when you're just looking at digital files and how many things can you look at. So sad to see them go. Sad to hear that they didn't make it. But I don't know how they could have, you know, it's tough. So that's enough of me talking. Like I said, didn't have any real plans. One thing I did want to talk about, Matt brought up maybe doing the book club again, which is what we had been doing. And then the book club just kind of turned into this podcast, and where we just kind of sit around talking about stuff. So I'd be happy to fire up the book club again if you guys want to.
I would love that.
And people at home. One thing I was thinking, there's 2 books that just came out, Blue Estate and Green Wake, both by Image, both a little more adult books, but also I think they're both $12.99, so, you know, not a big chunk of an investment. We'll do some sort of book club discount. So if we, you know, take a vote online or whatever. I've read Blue Estate. It was really good. I haven't read Green Wake other than the first issue, but I thought it was really good. So those would be my 2 suggestions. Email whatever you want to do to give me any suggestions. If anybody's interested, we'll pick a date. I know before we used to do it on Thursdays. I'll have to see, and I know people like Thursdays. So we'll pick a Thursday and see if we can work with that. Next thing Joe was going to do that we're going to have to bump to next week. Let's see, right up next on the agenda, Ryan talking about the new Kindle Fire.
Yeah, all right. Well, for anyone who hasn't heard about it, Amazon just announced their new Kindle Fire e-reader, which is their first color e-reader, and it's a 7-inch tablet that runs a modified form of Android. It's got a color screen, but the big comic news was that DC announced that they're going to start distributing their graphic novels on the Kindle, and this is the first time that you can get DC collected editions, comic book versions, you know, on through digital. So they kind of showed, you know, Jim Lee a couple pictures of him with the Kindle Fire. You know, he's got Superman Earth 1 up, and they have a huge list on their website. There's like over 100 books, and it's, you know, the first 6 or 7 volumes of Fables. You know, some general Superman books, Batman books, you know, Batman Year 1, Hush. There's, I think there might be Superman 4 tomorrow, maybe not 4 tomorrow. I know Earth 1 is there, Watchmen, things like that. But it just sort of got me thinking after they announced that, you know, what appeals to me about reading digital comics? Because I do read digital comics from time to time. And so I started Colin's giving me angry eyes. No. I don't hate reading digital comics. I've just never found a platform that I like reading them the most on. Like, reading them on my laptop is just kind of clunky because it's, you know, the screen is stuck forever in landscape view unless I, you know, awkwardly... Oh, okay. I thought Jeremy was, like, you know, trying to, you know, show me his iPad, trying to get me to buy an iPad. But,
yeah. The iPad is 9.7.
Okay, so it's a good bit smaller than that, then.
I have, and I'll let you finish and go, but oh, yeah. I have some thoughts about reading.
That was my concern, just size. Okay. That just seemed awful small, especially for stuff that wasn't designed for
it. See, this is the biggest and probably the best screen-wide. Okay. Like for,
but it's still smaller than the printed
book. Yes, yeah. It is still smaller.
Jeremy just pulled up a list here of books they have available. I'm not going to go through all of them, but some highlights. They have All-Star Superman, American Vampire Volume 1, the first three volumes of Grant Morrison's Batman and Robin, including his Batman and Son and the Black Glove and Rip. There's Batman Year One. There's Blackest Night. A lot of Green Lantern books.
Is this a commercial?
Brightest Day. Anyway, it just...
It's a big list.
Yeah, it's a big list. I mean, and there's a lot more Vertigo stuff, too. They even have some Mad stuff. They've got some Planetary. Looks like every volume of Sandman. So, you know, it's good that they're not just sticking with the superhero genre. I think that's interesting that they are sort of taking this digital initiative further, where they say, you know, they want to get new readers, so they've kind of covered the gamut in the terms of genres of stories that they're going to make available. But like I was saying, it was making me think about, you know, what would I like to read digital comics on? And I think The Fire is an interesting product. I mean, it's only $1.99, which is a whole lot cheaper than iPads or some of the other tablets that are out there. But I'm waiting to see more specs on what the operating system is like. They said it's a modified Android operating system, but I'm wondering how modified it is. Because right now it looks like it's only basically their storefront. Like, you can get Amazon videos, Amazon books, and, you know, comics through Amazon, and that's about it. It also only has 8 gigs of storage, which they want you to utilize their cloud drive, which just sort of stores all your information on their servers. And I'm not really sure how I feel about that. I'd rather just, you know, have my files, you know, move them around if I want. I mean,
you can still download it, but you can keep it on their cloud, because anything you buy from them is free in their cloud storage.
Right, and that's true. Yeah. So they've got some interesting incentives. I think you get a month free of Amazon Prime, which is, you know, free shipping and free video downloads from them. But it actually made me start looking into some other tablets. I mean, Jeremy and I were talking about his iPad. He really likes reading comics on his iPad. I've looked at some other models of tablets. Kindle Fire is 7 inches, which, you know, Jeremy thinks that his as you said, his 9.8-inch screen on the iPad. And it is a nice screen for reading comics. I just, not that I'm worried about portability, but I guess I'd want something that, you know, is small enough that I could take it with me wherever. I wouldn't have to worry about having a huge screen. I've seen some of the 10-inch tablets that are just huge. They look huge. So, I don't know, I don't think that would be so handy, but that was just something interesting that I sort of started looking at over the weekend, this past weekend.
Yeah, I saw some articles, and it was like, you know, for $200, especially it's going to be out by Christmas, that's something to think. But it was funny, my son's drum teacher, I guess, gave him a Coke one time.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him to have me enter the cap online, because he could win an iPod, because the drum teacher had won an iPod. So now he's obsessed with anytime he sees a Coke, get the code. So I was entering, I'd been saving up all the 12-pack rip things and entered them all in, and I had a bunch of points, so I entered a bunch for him to win the iPod. And I entered for me to win an iPad, just for fun, and my wife was just like, why do you need that? What could you possibly do with that? And for me, it's very true. I'm either here or I'm at home, where I have a computer, even, you know, a laptop readily available, so the usefulness for me, even, you know, as a neat thing to ask for Christmas, I'm sure she'd look at me and go, what? So
it is nicer. An iPad is nicer than a laptop.
For consuming media, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't have the functionality. Like, you can't do everything, but if you just want to surf the internet or do something, it's not as we've all had the laptop on your lap. You put it in your lap, and then you're uncomfortable. It's hot. It's this. It's that. I mean, it's not for processing. It's not for doing anything. But it definitely, for, like you said, for consuming media, for watching things, reading things. It is really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, I love mine. it's barely left my side since I have it.
It's always with him at the podcast.
But it's, like, exactly, like, what I've always wanted, like, in a device You know, I made the joke for wanting one of these so bad. I still say, being a child of the 80s, I was promised flying cars. And here I am, you know, 30-some years old, no flying cars. Well, I look at the iPad, and this is, you know, one of the closest realizations to the type of technology I was promised as a kid. Right. So at least for me, that's where part of that is. But just kind of along the lines of the comic book stuff, I do read digital on here. I like it. As you were saying, Colin, it's not the size. It's not. None of the tablets are anywhere close to the size of a comic book. I think the iPad is the best because just dimensionality, the 10-inch ones are longer than they are wide. So it's right. a little bit more of a rectangle, like in a bad way. Like they're okay. too
more like a widescreen
yeah.
TV.
Yeah, size. So they're a little too skinny depending on how you're turning it, whereas this is slightly more square than rectangle. And so that kind of, it's just kind of a nice happy medium, like for seeing the full thing. But a few interesting things about Amazon is the price point for a lot of the stuff that's on there we were discussing is less than cover price.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking about Watchmen, and I agree with you, you know, as much as I love the digital for the convenience, I'm never going to get rid of my comic book collections. I love holding it. I love seeing it, but if I am going to read digitally and I'm going to pay for digital content, I really want it to be dirt cheap because if I can buy Watchmen for $25 online and only read it on my tablet versus coming to your shop and buying it for $25, obviously...
It's only $19.99.
Oh, sorry, $19.99. But, you know, obviously I want the book in hand, but it does look like Amazon is going to charge a substantial... Or not a substantial, but a pretty reasonable discount.
Yeah.
So at the very least, I see that as more like gateway kinds of things. Like you try it digitally, and if you like it, you buy it. That's the one thing with some of the digital comics initiatives that Marvel and DC are doing. I can't pay full cover price for something digitally. I mean, even anything more than $1 for older stuff.
And that seems to be the price... people want to pay, but
that's and I'm sure there's any number of reasons why that will or will not work, but yeah that's kind of what it comes down to is you want, if you're going to have it, I inherently think of this as a disposable, much more disposable than even a issue, because if I have the issue, I'm going to hold on to the issue. Here it's just a matter of hitting delete, it's gone forever.
Right.
And I guess something that it made me think of that I sort of disagree with Comixology's program is I like that they set up, you know, you have this pull list program where I can go on my Comixology account, pull what I want, and then you can see it because I'm connected to your store,
right.
and then you can pull my list that way. And, you know, they also, you have the digital storefront now, but I've noticed, or at least I haven't been able to find a way through either the DC app or the Comixology app, there's no way to link my app to your DC store.
No, right. You have to go through, yeah, I know, that's a problem. The problem is if all of a sudden you find it, you like it, and then you're just sitting on, you know, your iPad, and you go onto their site and go click, I'm bypassed on that.
Yeah.
And I know it's not a huge seller for you, but another thing I kind of wish they would have done more of, and I realize I'm a minority niche market for this, but I really did like the JLA combo pack just because you pay $4.99 versus $3.99. So for a dollar more... I can get, like, the digital download, which is what they're doing with movies now.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting, because they're actually, that's part of the Diamond plan for, I don't even remember the publishers involved. They talked to us about this in February, and they still haven't implemented it. But the idea is, if you buy the book, you can get for an extra dollar a code to do it. So it's, I guess they're trying, DC's running
I think
with
if
that
they,
right
I think if they did something like that a little more across the board, that would... I would probably do a lot more digitally, because that's something I would love to be able to do is if I buy it, have it in multiple formats.
Yeah.
It's not even for me so much that I want one over the other. Like I want the comic book, but I would love to have like my whole collection also portable that I could take with me everywhere. Yeah. And I think a lot of people feel that way because Dan's over here shaking his head, that he'd like that. And it seems like everybody talks about digital versus print as a one or the other, and nobody really entertains both as much.
Well, I'm kind of the opposite. When it comes to comics, I'd rather just read the paper, but The only reason I want digital is because, like, I get bored with my screensavers. I want to be able to have a nice, like this one particular panel. I want to be able to have that as my screensaver.
Right.
Yeah. That's the only reason why I get digital.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and DC doesn't really update their wallpapers very much, though. You'll go and try to find, like, a new cover that's maybe even, like, months old, and they still don't have it up.
I was reading a Batgirl issue, and there was, like, 3 or 4 panels that I liked. So I said I'd take pictures of them, send them to my computer, edit them in Paint, and then make it all one so I could do it. And I was just like, well, that'd be great for digital. Like, I could just take that page now. Just,
exactly.
That's the only thing I care about digital.
Yeah, I'd like both for the reread aspect. You know, like, once you put your comic in the bag, I don't ever want to take it out. Once I tape it up, because every time you do, you rip the tape, you get annoyed because you got to get a new bag. But I like to reread stuff, you know, like every year when I'm bored. Mm-hmm. And having it digitally, I could do that without ruining my collection.
Right.
That's the way I feel. I like you said, you don't want to, like, ruin your collection. I actually stopped putting tape on my bags for now, unless it's something I know I'm not going to want to reread again for a long time. Because I know if I never
tape mine.
Really?
For that reason, because
I felt weird. I felt like, you know.
Okay, whatever you do, don't use electrical tape.
No,
I had a collection come in, and each one, now it was a very tiny piece of electrical tape on each one.
Right.
And I had to peel it off each one, and by the end, my fingers were just balls of glue.
What about an X-Acto knife or something?
Well, no, it was real little. It was like, God, how big is that? Quarter inch, like, strip, half inch by quarter inch, little strip. But I had to peel it off each one and just.
So my Action Comics.
It was
a big collection.
It was like 3 long boxes. Wow. Yeah, it got very tedious.
My Action Comics 1939 #1 that's completely wrapped in electrical tape. That was a bad idea.
Yeah. I do like getting the books that have packing tape down the spine. I mean, they're old ones. It's like, that was an interesting method of doing it.
But it is funny, though, because kind of what Dan's saying about the rereading, like, clearly, you know, most of us are not adverse to buying the issue, buying the trade, buying the hardcover, buying the 10-year later hard, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we'll buy...
Depends on the book, but absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know... A lot of us will buy stuff in multiple formats, so I don't... It's like they Marvel and DC seem very hesitant to kind of offer up both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even like, subscriptions. Like, you know, comics subscriptions used to be, like, a bread-and-butter thing with comics, you know, in the 60s, 70s, and
80s. They still do it. They do still do it more. Yeah. I know Marvel does it. I don't know if DC
But that
does.
Would be, like, a perfect thing for digital.
Yeah.
You know, a 12-issue subscription. Oh, but, sorry.
No, but you're right.
Yeah.
I know that I'm not allowed to get digital because I've been threatened by the store owner.
You
have not. Well, no one at the podcast.
I offer you guys digital.
He had a knife.
Website.
I was just like...
Just the angry eyes.
It's terrifying. Then he told me I couldn't get Marvel anymore.
Stop.
I don't understand the big push for... I mean, I understand why digital is good and everything, but... Part of the fun, part of the interesting part of it is on Wednesday, I know I've got something to do.
Right.
I'm going to go someplace. I'm going to talk to people. Half the stuff I read is because I've talked to other people about it.
Right. You know, that's one really good point is that... sorry, just move the microphone. One of the things that I never had that I think this whole thing right here shows is just the social aspect to comic collecting. I mean, I used to go to the store, and I was afraid to talk to the guys behind the counter because they would just be talking to each other and, you know, just would give me a total. But that's one thing I've definitely tried to foster here is more of a social, you know, where you guys hang out, you know, talk. And I know, you know, Jeremy will beat you over the head if you don't buy the Death of Aquaman, Death of a Prince.
I'm scared. I
got to
buy it.
Yeah, right. But that's part of the fun is talking to people. Hey, did you try this? This was good. And I think, you know, you're not going to get that sitting in, you know, living room, basement. Just doing the digital stuff.
For how many people is one trip out of their basement?
Yeah, that could be. That could be. Hey, Nick's back.
You know, I also have to say that I'm afraid.
Nope, he's just waving, smiling.
Okay.
There's Nick.
I also have to say that I'm afraid to pronounce.
We're talking about digital comics.
Wolverine's son's name in any way anymore. I know I'm saying it not quite the Joe standards.
He's always just around the corner waiting for you to say it.
I know. It's like he knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's not even here.
But I agree. I would like a way to have my collection be a little more portable. Like, if I go on a trip, you know, I'm not going to grab. I'm like, all right, here's a huge short box.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna that's something, you know, anytime I go flying somewhere, I definitely weigh mm-hmm. what I'm going to take. You know, I'm not going to take single issues because I don't want them to get damaged.
Right.
You know, what do I want to take on the plane? Silly me, I thought I could read Watchmen there and back to Vegas. That didn't happen.
Just gonna skip the
one thing that I like. one thing that I like about digital, the idea of digital, is it lets me read those comics that I just don't want really to collect, but I do want to read the story.
Sure, I do.
So I think that's really mine, because I don't want to just have all these comics stacked up that really I'm never going to reread. I just want to know kind of the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
There's a lot of books that I would, you know, would pay. Well, not pay, but I wouldn't pay, you know, more than 99 cents to read. Right. You know, some of the Fear Itself tie-ins. You know, like I do. You know, I'm kind of intrigued. I want to read The Deep. Mm-hmm. But I really don't want to, you know, right. That's something I'd flip through digitally, because I know I get my Marvel previews and my Image previews digitally, and even on the big computer screen here, I'm still having to go panel by panel,
right?
Because even you know, the 21-inch screen here isn't really big enough to sit and read like a comic, mm-hmm. And some of them I just read just so I can, you know, get it over with.
Well, and it's definitely a different reading experience. Oh, yeah. Because you don't have the whole page there. There's definitely, you know, panel or half page. You know, I have actually found, even on the iPad, while you can fit the whole page, like, long ways, not that the visual demonstrate, you know, you mm-hmm. can fit most of the page that way. I actually prefer to read it like that, just because it's bigger. Yeah. You can see the art. Yeah.
Do you guys have iPads?
Jeremy does.
I do, and Matt does.
I'm talking online now through Skype, and in a related note, they just, I don't know if you guys break news on a podcast, but
ooh.
Steve Jobs just died.
Oh, did he? Oh, wow.
Serious? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
Yeah. Like,
you heard it here first.
Yeah,
when
sorry, I didn't mean to bring the mood down.
Thanks.
Well,
I guess to go back to what I was saying about the
you can
Nick.
Jump very
Nick's gonna tell me Thor's gonna die at the end of Fear Itself. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah, but Thor will come back.
What? I think he's already there in the new previews that came out. They're showing him back in the next issue. So time. I don't know what's going on there.
I guess with the Kindle Fire, the thing that I'm waiting to see is, you know, are these graphic novels that they're releasing, are these going to be the DRM files that we're used to getting from Comixology? Or are they going to be, you know, CBZ, CBR files? I highly doubt it.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, the Comixology stuff is all locked down. You know, you can only read a Comixology comic on a Comixology app.
Okay.
That's the digital rights management stuff on it, is that you can only read it through their app with their particular program. And I think it would be nicer to see the companies start to offer freeform CBZ and CBR files, which are... Basically, it's just a zip file or a RAR file, which is basically just a container file that holds the picture files of the pages.
Yeah, I think just the problem is just piracy, but, you know, just sharing it and things like that. And I can understand.
There's a service that came out recently that is selling CBZ files and CBR files and even PDFs digitally, and it's not the big publishers. And I think they might be connected to DCB. I'm not sure. DCBService.com. I think it's something related to them that's selling these, you know, DRM-free comics. So I'm interested to see where that goes. But like I said, with the Fire, just kind of, you know, wait till they get more specs out.
I don't even think at Comixology you get to download them.
No, I don't think you do.
You can't read them offline.
I thought that, but I've messed around with some of the free ones, and you can read them offline.
Yeah.
Because
the free ones are different than the ones you pay for.
I think what it is I think you can... You buy them, and then once you've bought it, it's kind of always there, but you can just choose to download certain... Like, you don't download everything you buy.
Yeah,
I know the files do take up space on my phone, because there's, like, a file manager setting where I can go in and choose, you know, what I want to keep and what I want to delete. I can set a file allotment on my SD card.
Yeah, but I think you still have to check in.
I think, yeah.
Because that's how most DRM services work, right? When you open the app. And
right,
the
yeah. I do have to be signed in, yeah. So
I'm going to buy a Fire.
Are you really?
I had it pre-ordered.
Okay.
I think I'm going to buy
back
it.
To where
does awesome. It has its own internet browser, right?
Yeah.
What's it using?
You mean the operating system? Or?
Usually they have a specific, sometimes a browser that they're using for
some
this.
Sort of customized browser. I forget what they called it, but it's supposed to be very... easy to use. It's supposed to utilize the tablet's hardware to speed up your browsing, things like that.
It has Flash.
Right, exactly. That's an important thing, is that it has Flash. But
yeah, that is kind of cool.
That's getting off comics.
That's why I deal with paper. I
know. No, it might come in handy with comics later.
Right. I know not of what you speak.
And the cool thing about Fire is, right?
It's hot.
It's Android-based, and that's like the most hacked mobile platform
right.
out there. So there's all kinds of, you know, variant OSs that you can probably, you'll be able to install on that tablet to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, within a week after it comes out.
Right.
For comic spreads on digital comics, do they like? Is it a you can't have a full spread view? You have to have one page view.
You can do two, but it's like unreadable. Because
I was
going to
say sometimes you have like I was just reading Blackest Night, and they have a whole spread that's one big thing that kind of.
This
hurt
is
it.
What a two-page spread looks like,
and you at home can clearly see this. Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, Adam just showed it to the microphone.
Comixology.
Trust me, you guys don't want a video podcast.
Comixology is pretty limited in their view options. It's basically, you know, do you use their guided view system or do you not use it? Some of the other comics apps that are on the market do have different options, like Comic Rack, for instance, that I downloaded over the weekend, which is pretty great. It has a lot of different viewing options, but I think it really comes down to what the hardware is going to be like. I think that's going to sort of dictate where this digital comics movement is going. Like, I know DC is really getting into it. I think Marvel is going to start picking up their plans. I know Image just recently announced that they're going to do day and day.
Something's coming
January.
from Marvel, because I know they just had a meeting with a phone conference with retailers, and on my retailer message board they were saying we don't know what we can talk about yet, but they were pretty happy with what Marvel had to say, which is interesting.
Did you attend?
I didn't know about it. Hater, yeah.
Does Marvel not let talk to you anymore? Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not on their list of big retailers to talk to, so.
Because you hate them.
I do not hate them.
What you're
Stop.
Saying is you're not MidCon.
Why don't you like
comics?
That Kool Aid? It comes in different colors.
Yes, I like all the Kool Aids. But no, it's.
He's drinking the DC stuff.
Oh, stop. But, Yeah, supposedly, yeah, the whatever the Marvel plan is, it sounds like it's going to be good for me as a retailer, and then hopefully that would then translate to being good for you. Because that's my biggest concern is just losing sales.
Right.
I have nothing against digital, but just, you know, look what happened to Barnes & Noble.
But your store doesn't exist on the internet.
Right. No, I don't, but if my products are available on the internet for less, you know, a third or a fourth of what I'm charging for them, I wouldn't blame you for going, so...
I think the big difference between your product and music or prose novels is quality. You lose...
Yeah.
There's a loss in translation between a print book and a digital book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As of now.
And I understand, and also the younger generation, you know, they do everything on, you know, phones, and, you know, as soon as we get one in the house, you know, the kids are going to go crazy over the iPad, and you hand them a book, they're going to go, what's this? Why do I need this big thing? Or, you know...
Right.
So I understand where that's going. You know, all the textbooks are going to be on those soon. So, I mean, I understand, but I do think there is something just aesthetically pleasing.
I think the difference between your store and something like Barnes & Noble that would be affected by digital is that yours has more of a collector's market.
Right,
and
right.
The other one is just, you know, you can just go and buy a book.
There's
but
no difference
here,
between the words on a page
as
the words on a
collected.
Kindle.
I mean, you can collect series of books, but how many series of books are you going to buy compared to how many comic books you're going to get in a collection?
Yeah. So. But then the question is, I mean, collections have kind of gone down since the advent of everything coming out as a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to read, you know, to find that book to read.
Plus, there used to be record collectors.
Right.
And you think of that.
But are there CD collect? You know, is I don't know if. Yeah.
The comic book companies would help you
well,
out
and I think
what they release.
That's
I
part of the packaging. Yeah, but the packaging on a CD isn't as exciting as, you know, a nice album with the liner notes and, you know, that was something. I think that's still something that the comics still have. And it's funny because people want them to give extras on the digital, where I'm sitting here going, no, give us extras in the print.
Really, the only problem that comics are having right now is not keeping us happy, like us being the core audience. It's attracting younger readers, which, like you say, your kids they're all digital, you right. know, as soon as they have a digital device in their hand, why would they ever want to read it? Mm-hmm. And right. that's, like, from the business point of view, that's what Marvel and DC are thinking about, because eventually all of us are going to get old and die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
what
is our superhero comics going to go along with us?
Yeah.
Well, we don't all have your funds, Bruce.
I'm going to cheat it somehow.
And of your picture is a head in a jar.
Yeah, and, right. Nick can't because he's a computer.
That's true. But I will say on that Ben, though, Sonic is selling crazy for me. SpongeBob, insane. SpongeBob and Sonic are getting close to Spider-Man numbers for me.
Wow.
Strawberry Shortcake, I have people every day asking for number two. Mm-hmm. Hey, but it's so, I mean, there is the younger readers, so they just need more stuff. And sadly, it's the kid books aren't, you know, besides that, like the DC offerings aren't that interesting to the kids. And I can't really put, you know, Batman number one into a kid's hand.
Right.
And, you know, I can't, you know, Spider-Man maybe, but again, with Spider-Man, you're in part, you know, 7 of 9.
Right.
You know, they're not going to understand what's going on.
DC both have kids' books.
They do, but sometimes I think the kids don't want to read a kid's book.
I didn't say
you know, they'll read a SpongeBob book. I like SpongeBob, but why do I have to read the kid's Spider-Man? Why can't I read the big boy Spider-Man?
And the transition period where the kid is going to move on to the next, you know, to the older kid books, it's not going to matter because it's going to be... Because the stories aren't going to match. Like,
right.
It's not really Spider-Man.
But
know?
I almost
so
wish...
I thought that was kind
of
difficult.
I almost wish DC and part of this relaunch had done kind of like that. Because I still don't understand why we need Batman the Dark Knight when we already have Batman and Detective. Where maybe...
Mm-hmm.
Not a tone down, but just... How about... not in all ages, but how about even just a PG-rated Batman story?
I just wish they brought back like what they did when they did the Batman animated series. Like the Justice mm-hmm. League.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it was...
Well, they're doing that with Young Justice.
Yeah.
And that does
It was
okay.
all ages, but it felt very Silver Age. Like,
okay.
It wasn't too kind of dummied down. It was still at a pretty decent level for a comic book.
Have you read the Justice League analog books to that as well, the Unlimited?
Yes, yes.
They were really good as well. So in the Superman, in fact, Adventures had Mark Millar stories, and they were excellent too.
Yeah. Now, some of that animated stuff is better than what was coming out in the regular line at the time.
At the time, certainly.
They got that new Batman show come out, they just announced the other day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beware the Batman.
Huh.
Which...
And there's a new Green Lantern one coming as well.
That's all I got. A 3-minute clip of that. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and I do like those because, you know, especially in having the books affiliated with those, only because you can say, well, here, you know, if they watch the Batman Brave and the Bold show, they might like this.
Yeah,
but I think then you get into those tween where they're like, well, I don't want to read the cartoon book. I want to read, you know, something else, and I don't really have something I can put in their hand right now. Oh, well, here you go. You know, here's Detective with Joker's face cut off on the last page.
That's a good book.
Right, but I think there's a perception thing for the kid.
Yeah,
that's
all. Kids always want to do what their adults are doing, but that book's good.
I forget where I read this at, and I need to start remembering my sources more, writing these down when I read them so I can bring them up in the podcast. But an article that I was reading on one of the comic book websites, someone was saying, you know, instead of having this stigma that kids' books are all-ages books and an all-ages book is meant for kids, you know, let's get back to having an all-ages book that is all-ages. You know, just because it's all-ages doesn't mean that it's going to be a really dumb story. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't have a complex story. I mean, kids can understand complex stories. I mean, if you give them boring, watered-down stories, they're either going to realize it and read something else, or that's just what they're going to get used to. Whereas, you know, I don't know, you look at animated movies that have done really well, like...
Pixar. Toys,
yeah, anything that Pixar has done, you know, both kids and adults greatly enjoy those movies.
And there's some mature concepts in those.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you watch it and you're like, and I think that the current Doctor Who is a good example of that too, where they're literally all ages. I mean, I think that people don't understand the term all ages. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It should be appealing to everyone, and it's difficult to do, I'll give you that, but when executed properly... They just create some amazing pieces that the demographic should be, you know, 1 to 100.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, little things like I look at some of even the current DC stuff, like leave out the guy, you know, in Batman, leave out the body stabbed with knives, and we would have been fine. you know, don't we didn't need the Joker's face. Although, I mean, it was dramatic, okay, but we didn't need that in both books.
No. Personally, some teenagers aren't anymore. Yeah. You leave that stuff
right.
Out,
no, I mean, that was good. I'm just saying, I can't put that book in a, you know, a 13-year-old's hand.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's even,
and it, just
well,
a kind of a funny story.
Gonna have to grow up.
Yeah.
Well, funny story.
well, they kind of are. They're pretty jaded from
But a kid was in with his mom, and she was looking for the next volume of Walking Dead for her son, and I'm just like,
what?
Really?
She's like,
well, he read number one, and I'm like, okay. And then, you know, she flipped through and she's like, oh, well, that's not good. But at the Barnes & Noble, they had it in with the kids stuff because it was a graphic novel. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's a funny book.
It's very funny. And, I'm like, and then she, you know, do I have any kid zombie books? I'm like, that's really not, no. I mean,
maybe there's a chance.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's Diary of a Zombie Kid, genre. But
issue number two, Jimmy shares his brains.
Yeah, it's, I'm like, it's really not a genre made
for
kids.
Though. He's already read the first one.
I know.
Right. So
but, I mean, the first
well,
one
if you
wasn't.
Hold the second one from him. He's going to turn into like some sort of.
I want to take advantage of that gap.
Yeah.
Right. See, there you go. Fund it.
But it was it was just one of those.
It's very interesting.
Not,
but I wouldn't mind having, you know, if they knocked off one of these Batman books and had. You know, even if it wasn't in the main line, but, you know, an all-ages Batman book that wasn't based on the show. I mean, you could still have an all-ages book that takes place in the modern continuity that just does stuff that's just fun that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, they can have one book like that for every character.
Mm-hmm.
And see, all of us are agreeing, saying that would be really cool.
And I'd love to see it, like, just two-issue story arcs. You know, leave the cliffhanger. You know, that's how they used to be when I was growing up, you know, back in the golden days. But
well, what hurts,
you know,
I think, with them doing that is they're tying a lot of these books together, too.
Right.
So they, you know, they can't have one that's.
But maybe a whole division that's not necessarily Johnny DC or Marvel Adventures, but.
That's what Unlimited was supposed to be when they hyped it, like the couple months before it came out. They were saying it's going to be accessible to everybody in all ages, and from almost issue, well, maybe not issue one, but. Really early into it, it became not that, and they sort of never talked about that again.
Yeah, and I'm sure the order numbers aren't good because most stores don't have a kids section or don't, you know, promote it. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like the key to this might be making a book that, you know, matters in the continuity, even because, like you said, you know, there's that certain age where the teenagers. The beginning teenagers don't want to read the four kids books anymore, but they're not really old enough, or either their parents or they're just not at the age level where they should be reading the, you know, the actual main books, you know, like main Batman books with Joker getting his face cut off or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, if they made an all ages book that mattered, you know, of course it doesn't have to be, okay, the newest Crisis is all ages, guys. So Darkseid's going to have a pillow fight with Superman.
Right.
You know, like, you know, it doesn't have to be anything.
But we don't have to show him, you know, disemboweling.
That would be awesome.
You know,
exactly.
You don't, again, you don't have to dumb it down. You just don't take it that extra step. Like, the, you know, the end of Catwoman.
Yeah.
You know, you. Now, granted, they said it was T+, yada, yada. But, you know, I wouldn't show that to my 10-year-old daughter.
No, not at all.
So, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not in charge. And, again, once they say all ages, I'm sure it. Stores wouldn't order it.
Is anybody here reading any all ages books that they really like?
I'm not, but I've heard that I should be picking up quite a few.
Like, I know Atomic Robo is really well received.
Really,
it's considered an all ages, not a kid's book, but just all ages. Nothing offensive.
The issues I've read of Batman Brave and the Bold are good.
Yeah, see, I like, and that's watching those shows have made me want to pick up those comics. I like watching Brave and the Bold, being interested in
that. There's Earth's Mightiest Adventures book.
Yeah,
that was good, too.
If you make a really good, it can even be a good kid's book, because Earth's Mightiest Avengers is what, on Disney XD or whatever? I mean, my little nephews love it, they have no idea.
Yeah.
But I can sit down and watch it with them, and I like it.
Yeah, it's fun.
If you make a good kid's show, or good kid's comic, people will read it, even well past
well, you know, there's a
the target audience.
Four issue series of that, right?
That's okay. I watch the show.
We say that about a lot of things. As long as it's good, we'll read it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I think, what new book, what DC, or any book that has come out lately, I just know DC writes theirs, what book wasn't T?
Not many.
Exactly.
Not many.
I mean,
yeah.
You say Catwoman's T, but Swamp
Things.
T+.
T+,
but Swamp Things T, Titans, I think, is Teen. I think everything is Teen.
Teen Titans, I think. There wasn't anything horrible in Teen Titans, I can recall.
It might be rated, but they're maybe waiting.
I will say Ultimate Spider-Man
is pretty... Yeah, and that's what that whole thing was designed to be.
Yeah.
Although I think Ultimates might be over kids' head, but that's Hickman.
There got to some moments in Ultimate Spider-Man that were probably...
No, just more when they killed the main character. Yeah, that's a little more tea.
Oh, never mind.
But even the stuff now has been, I would say, pretty decently all ages. With that, but Atomic Robo, like you said, I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
That one book Ben was telling us about, the Gladstone School.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they just had all the issues in print.
One of the problems with Ultimate stuff is that they tie it all together a lot of the time, and Ultimatum was one of the most violent things.
The new stuff has been pretty independent.
Really?
And you can't flip through the first issue.
So. And they're bagged. So little kids are all over that. They love.
Is Morty Morty's considered an all-ages book?
I don't believe so.
I would say no.
I like how it looked like it was blinking.
But like Static, that's supposed to be an all age book. Yeah. Relaunch.
Yeah, I don't know. He gets his arm cut off on the last page, so I haven't read number 2 yet. Oh, so, well, it's a month old. Yeah. Although I will say in Batwing, there's another dismembering.
But it's not cut off. It's like phased.
Yes.
Off.
Okay, you're right. Phased.
I still haven't read Static.
Okay. I'm
sorry. The reality is, it's not like a bloody stump that's graphic. It's just like, my arm disappeared.
Is that Gorilla Grodd book at all ages?
Gorilla Bob.
You know, I will say I was looking for a generic Gorilla image online. So if anyone has any artistic talent would want to make, because Gorilla Bob is the official mascot of the Pittsburgh Comic Podcast.
Why don't we just get a real
Comic
gorilla?
I was thinking we need a drawing of a gorilla in a t-shirt, you know, like a Pittsburgh Comic t-shirt. I think that would be awesome. I was going to try to take a Frank Cho gorilla, but then I realized I'd probably get in trouble.
You were at the zoo just recently. You should have got a gorilla and put a shirt on.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
You have a Pittsburgh Comic shirt.
So if anybody out there has any artistic ability that I have none.
Awesome.
I could call Giuseppe Camicoli.
Say that right?
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast. But maybe he's a little busy doing all the Spider-Man issues in the new previews. So way to go, Giuseppe.
Pittsburgh call. He only has half of
the t-shirts.
Yes. Oh, give me a break. I'll find you one, Shane.
I'm just saying.
I don't have mine on. Okay.
So I guess... Now, we spent the last month just really focusing on DC. I know we talked a little bit about some of the Marvel stuff that was coming out. So I guess we can just, if you want, we can just go into some stuff.
What?
Don't lean back. Can't hear.
Sorry. talk about anything that you guys enjoyed that we haven't talked about.
What if we didn't enjoy
it? Or you can talk about a book you didn't enjoy.
Let's be positive. Well,
go, Adam.
I want to mention last week's Spider-Man. It was mentioned... last week by Colin, but I agree with what you said last week, though, about it seemed like a big commercial for the beginning was like a big commercial, I thought, for all of
I don't
their,
think I said that. Someone else don't blame me. Dan did. Oh, Dan, said it. Mr. Well, Loving Spider-Man,
I
was not happy with Spider-Island.
And see, I'm a big Spider-Man fan.
I know you are.
And I don't know. I felt like the beginning was a lot of explaining... Well, just telling us this happened in this tie-in, and I wasn't going to read it.
My one problem with it was, Anti-Venom going to get Venom, and it's like, well, then I really don't need to read this issue of Venom. And I wasn't alone. A lot of people handed me back saying, I don't need to read this, and I don't want any more Venom. It's like, not real good, guys.
Most people were just silly.
But I thought the beginning kind of just drug. Because of that, because they were just trying to tell you about all these books that I didn't get. So, but the ending took off a little better. I did kind of like the team up of Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man for that little while. And
until it turned into a big. Oh, don't give it away. Sorry.
I also like the new enemy here, which isn't really a new enemy, but it's kind of a cool that they brought this old character back. Into this that you didn't really know, so it was kind of a surprise for you. So, I mean, I have my mixed opinions on it, so I hope it takes off better than the last issue. But I was really enjoying it from the beginning of the series, and then this issue kind of just was like, I didn't really need it, I felt, so.
Okay, anybody have something they did like?
FF? I like FF. I like Hickman, though. I think he's done a great job with the entire Fantastic Four world, you know, since whenever he took over. You know, everything is starting to finally fall into place from what he started talking about 2 years ago.
I think that's a problem, though. Just so much is going on. They've got so much hype on it.
There's a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, but with the death of Johnny Storm, there was a big interest, and it just really seems to be whittling away with people going, I'm not following this, I don't get it. It might read really well in book form,
I think, yeah,
but it's losing readers. Just it's too complicated.
Does Valeria seem like she's going towards like the villain side?
Definitely.
I've just kind of...
Sure.
It's Valeria.
Valeria. Whatever. Yeah, I wish they'd just kill her character off.
Dawson.
Nice.
Not a big fan.
Dead kids.
Nice.
I guess we're
not going to keep their G-rated rating on.
I'm back on that bandwagon. Those two
okay.
Black Bolt Inhumans issues really came close to me dropping it.
Those were rotten.
But when he got back to the big story and overarching plot, it got me back in. And I think what you're saying about reading better book fashion is I think Hickman is Marvel's Morrison.
I think he wants to be that,
you
too.
You really have to take the long view of anything he writes and be on for the ride or forget it.
Yeah, that's very true. And I guess that's not very attractive from your point, Colin.
Well, it's fine if it's in a book like Secret Warriors did fine. S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing well. But I think you have something like, you know, Fantastic Four that you're kind of making...
Fantastic Four, it's Future Foundation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Where you're making it, I don't want to say inaccessible, but you pick up an issue, and even though it has that little recap, you're still going, what?
Yeah, that
recap one reason I didn't,
all that.
You know, yeah.
And I think those Black Bolt issues kind of separated it.
I read the first one, and I didn't like the idea.
From what was really going on. And
yeah, he has four wives? Wait a minute, no, he's been married to Medusa since 1960-whatever, so.
Ugly. Except Medusa.
There's one that looks like a horse.
Yeah. And a crab.
A horse?
Yeah.
There's a horse and a crab.
Yeah, oh. That's a crazy horse person.
That's insane. He has five wives, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Medusa and four aliens. Yeah. Or four different aliens.
Big love on the moon.
Who knew?
Wonder how those logistics work out.
So what else we got? I'm trying to think. Marvel really had a really light week this week. Mm-hmm. Other than Schism number 5.
That was really good.
I'm excited for that.
But after, you know, you had the X-Men book nobody likes. You had X-23, where she's still with the Fantastic Four. The FF. Third straight issue.
Moon Knight.
Hulk. That was about their output.
Hulk of Arabia.
You know what?
Thunderbolts,
yep. Yeah, I sold. Today. Well, I had damages.
Thunderbolts was really good as well. I really enjoyed it. The point, it actually...
Don't give too much away. People just...
I was going to say, the point one... Now that you've read the point one makes a whole lot of sense now. And
that cover was not a good cover. It's Abraham Lincoln and Captain America.
It's very fitting, though.
Okay. But the art on the inside is still Kev Walker, who's been doing the art since before Fear Itself.
Okay.
So the inside, I was the same way. I looked at that cover and was like, I think I might need to drop this. Yeah. But you open it up and it's still the Thunderbolts.
Which is what you want in a cover. I think I need to drop this.
It's
not, but that was my first impression. Your country needs you. I understand. But it's not really.
But I will say, kind of along Matt's point, the point one issue with Thunderbolts tied a lot more into what's going on in Thunderbolts
than any other point
than
one.
Like, you know, some of them have been set up, some of them have been. You know, the initial concept was supposed to be that done-in-one, introduce you to the concept, and then it turned into setups.
I thought the original concept was to help new readers jump on, so it was supposed to kind of introduce the next
arc. It was a done-in-one.
But it was supposed to introduce the next arc.
Which none of them do.
Like, Uncanny X-Factor was... One, it was a good story.
X-Force. Confusing.
Was one issue into the next arc and tied up the last arc before it.
Yeah.
It was a good book. It was just released...
And my favorite was the Avengers point one that
Ultron.
We haven't seen it. Yeah, we're still waiting on, and it's been, 5 months?
Was that Avengers Annual last week?
Prepare to wait another 5, because...
No, that was New Avengers point one.
No, that Avengers Annual hasn't been solicited yet.
What was the one that came out last week with Neil Adams' art?
That was New Avengers point one.
That was the New Avengers point one.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
I'm really
so sad
sorry.
When I read that. I was like, oh.
I was too, Nick.
It
just hurt.
You need to
it used to be so choosy.
But he needs to retire. I mean, his art was just really...
He has a Hulk variant coming up for Hulk number one, and since I've seen it, it's...
Hulk has his O-face on. Is that the one where he's like...
Yeah.
O-face? We lost office that rating. Space.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay, what anybody else
that
like?
Said, the new Avengers annual... did you guys enjoy the art in that?
Well, I know Adam kept it. I haven't read it yet. Adam kept asking me about it, about the Revengers.
The Revengers.
Yeah, Simon.
I really liked the Revengers concept.
I did.
New
yeah,
Avengers
it's
annual.
Good.
When did that come out?
I actually was pulling for them. Because his whole argument, Wonder Man's whole argument, is not invalid. I mean, it's one of the best. If they're going to characterize these characters as villains, which I think would be a huge stretch, it's one of the best... reasons for what they're doing that I've ever read. I mean, they really, it just put all the failures of the Avengers in a row, and you look at them and you say, these guys, have saved the world plenty of times, sure, but they have put it in jeopardy almost as many times.
And I also think they chose a good character to prove this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody...
For much of the history, I mean, his first appearance... is Avengers 9. I mean, granted, he was, I believe, a master of evil at the time, which doesn't bode well, but he was a longtime member. And, if it was a villain saying all this or just a side or an ancillary character, it would be easily dismissible. In fact, even some of the people on his team are living examples of legacy. Bill Foster's, is it nephew?
Yeah.
That's one of them that's just like, just seeing him makes you go, oh, yeah, that's right. They're not always that good at what they do.
Yeah, and seeing a lot of those different characters that have been, like, hurt by them in some way in the past comics, that was kind of cool.
It was. I mean, it was. What was great about it is it was the most gray area, that I've ever read in an Avengers book. I mean, generally, it's like one person's opinion. I think that the world would be better under my thumb. Another person's opinion, I don't think it would be. You know who you're going to bet on. But this one, it was, as an organization, you cause more problems than you would if you were separated. That's not, there's validity to it.
But isn't that an age-old story? I mean, how many times have we seen would the world be better off without Superman? Because with Superman, the villains try harder and...
Well, yeah, generally, that's what it is.
I don't think they've shown it, though.
Is, either they attract villains to a specific city, and I haven't seen this argument placed on a character or a team before, but they either attract the villains or create the villains, or that, in the case of Superman, he holds humanity back by doing things that humanity can't. But that's not the story in Avengers at all. In fact, there are a lot of them, like if you look at Scarlet Witch, is arguably one of the worst things that... has happened to the Marvel Universe. She was a member, and she was going crazy, and they all sort of made, little jokes about it, and they didn't really give it the seriousness it deserved, where if they were a more responsible organization, they would have, instead of just going from fight to fight, they would have seen maybe there's ramifications to this, similar to how a police officer, if he shoots somebody in the line of duty, and it's part of the job, that's fine, but they do seek counsel afterwards to be able to deal with that. Well, the Avengers don't have that apparatus, so these people just punch people in the face for a living day in, day out, and then just go home. And there's, there's issues with that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool the first time that they showed Wonder Man as this type of character, too. And it's kind of cool that they're bringing back his character a little bit into something new. They're kind of because he is a good character to use, but he was pretty generic, I thought, for a while.
He was pretty prevalent in the Ms. Marvel run halfway through till the end.
Yeah, but he's never had too much, there wasn't much about him, I didn't think.
I don't even really know what his powers are, but he can fly and his eyes glow. And
he's made out of ionic energy, so
he's like
pure
supposed
energy,
to be almost as powerful as
and that gives him, a density that he can control, energy beams that he can admit, and I believe...
does that make him Marvel Captain Atom?
Yes. Okay. But he doesn't have the ability, I believe, to manipulate them into any other type of energy. It's just that same... energy.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, Nick, because it's something that, both Marvel and DC have started to do in the last few years as a mining for story ideas. You take a lot of the irresponsibility that was the hallmark of a lot of Bronze Age and post-Bronze Age stories, and you suddenly make, you know, the heroes a little more responsible for their actions, and so far it's proof for some really good story ideas.
By definition, they're vigilantes. So they're answerable to no one, and certainly not the people. So therefore, by their very nature, it's, you know, in the real world, it would be looked upon by this. But Wonder Man's argument is his top five or argument is the Avengers created Ultron. The Avengers let Scarlet Witch happen. The Avengers caused and erupted into Civil War. The Avengers have never dealt with the Hulk, and the Avengers coddled the Sentry. Those are some bad things.
Didn't the Avengers try to handle the Hulk? I mean, they kind of did shoot him into space.
Not the Avengers.
That was like
the Illuminati.
That was the Illuminati, but
that's not the Avengers.
I guess, is the way Wonder Man is looking at this is that wasn't, you know, a solution, that was just a Band-Aid?
Yes.
Okay.
Technically,
and
it is the Avengers.
The fact that they're not answerable to anybody, and that they don't really look at their own selves and afterwards, after they make giant mistakes, and they just go, well, we probably shouldn't do that again. I'm not saying I'm on his side completely, but it's just what the best part of Civil War was before it really erupted into different things is that they were valid points on both sides. And I think this, although it seems like it's only going to be two annuals, it is something that's almost that cool, but anchored with the fact that the first issue had some amazing Del Otto art, making it one of my favorite comics I've read in, you know, a couple weeks.
And they might just be seeing how well it takes off as the idea of it takes off to see if they might do something with it more down the road, too.
If they do, I feel like their mandate will be one similar to a Force Works / Justice League, what do they call it, Extreme?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be terrible.
Yeah.
The proactive superhero thing.
I hope it comes with a fold-out cover, though, like Force Works 1.
Yeah. Well, there's a Force Works member on the team, so that's something.
Technically, it's going to be polybagged with a fold-out cover.
Well, it wasn't polybagged, but it did have a fold-out. I mean, it had folded out from the middle. It was spectacular.
One thing I liked about the new Avengers annual book was, and Nick was explaining all the issues that the Avengers have had. They showed it at the beginning of the book, and it worried me at the beginning because I don't really like books too much. They're just like, you know, show little history pieces on each spread. But this actually led to something more into the book, and I thought it was well used.
It's one of the better Bendis books I've read in a while.
Yeah,
and I'm
agree.
You know, a defender of Bendis, which sometimes is painful, but, you know, it wasn't an interview with a lot of people, so right from the get-go I liked it. And,
well,
it was such a kinetic, you know, story. I mean, I just think it's one of the best things he's written in a long time.
That was in Wolverine last year.
Well, it's funny. Somebody opened up the Avengers 1959, and the first page I saw was all these headshots. I'm like, oh, you're got to be kidding me.
One more time.
But it wasn't. It was more of an introducing the character type of thing. But, I was not pleased. Nick, question for you. I don't know if you saw on Bleeding Cool, they reported that retailers around the country or world are getting postcards saying it's coming, and it's supposed to be revealed at New York Comic Con. I was just wondering if you'd heard about that and if you have any thoughts on what might be coming.
From which company?
Marvel. Oh, Marvel. It's signed signed Axel Alonso.
It's Carnage USA.
It's what?
Carnage USA.
Oh, man.
You know, it's last week, I think it was last week, that was really disappointing when it was Secret Avengers. I don't know if that was last week or 2 weeks ago, but this
we were just talking about that.
I didn't know if I, like, it seemed like just one of those one type of stories that just, you know,
well,
you'll forget about after a while.
He's supposed to do 6 one-shot issues of Secret Avengers, but that book to me was not an Avengers book. It was a sci-fi book with 3 Avengers characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, my problem,
which is usually what Warren Ellis superhero comics are.
He's gotten to the point now where I don't even think he considers the team he's writing. I think he just writes a story that he likes and slaps faces on it. And I love Warren Ellis. I'm a huge Ellis fan, but was.
Plus,
it's one of those, I think he's just done too much Special K. And
I didn't really... I really didn't understand the whole thing with the truck. I mean, what?
Wasn't
why
that
was so?
Wasn't that
like,
a ripoff of Stephen King and was it Carrie or
Christine?
Christine.
Yeah.
Oh, now you blew the whole thing. Great. No, honestly, the last Secret Avengers I read was where Abraham Lincoln was fighting Nazis, and I kind of went. That was the last book.
They really haven't taken off since.
No.
Since that.
Well, I was talking with Jeremy, and we were talking about how when they first announced the new Avengers books, that was the one we were most looking forward to, and it's shame that now it's the one I've stopped reading first.
Yep.
It didn't have me looking forward to Secret Avengers because there was nothing really there.
I don't understand.
I didn't really care for the enemy he was fighting. I didn't really know what it was.
I don't understand why Ellis is on this book at this point. Like, you just signed Nick Spencer to an exclusive.
Well, I think it's a fill-in until they finish Secret or Fear Itself.
Year,
you know,
or whatever.
It'll take forever.
I think Nick Spencer needed time.
Because we have two more months of Fear Itself.
Do you know how many decimal points they could use?
Yeah.
How many two more months of Fear Itself? Seven is the only one not out yet.
7.1, 7.2, 7.3 are going to be. I don't know if they're weak.
There could be a four.
Battle scars, post battle
scars. Yeah, but
so
everything still has to feed into this.
Ultimate X Men.
There could be a Fear Itself too.
That just writes like seven.
Cloak and Dagger, Infinite Vacation. I don't know if we're ever getting another issue of that. It's canceled.
Like the end of this month or something.
You know,
way too late. It's been, what, 9 months? Yeah. Or 6 months at least. Yeah. I mean.
But, I mean, Bendis writes 17 books a month. Why can't Nick Spencer write three?
He's trying to write three well.
Yeah, then again, Bendis doesn't write.
I'm just realizing I can't wait for the tie-ins for It's Coming.
Yeah.
Small tangent. You know, Jeremy, you kind of reminded me of this. I think the thing that I'm. Not that I'm sick of events, but I'm sick of overtly long or overly congested events, but I'm more sick of Aftermath books.
Yeah.
Like, just tell the Aftermath in the main story. Why does it need
sense?
Because
once you're done with the event, you're done.
Well, we were
just... Other than that, but I mean, if the event's going to have ramifications, then shouldn't it happen in the main books instead of having a whole two-issue...
Like,
I know it makes it special and people
like
want to
buy it. The Brightest Day Aftermath was a pointless story, but it really didn't belong in any other book.
Yeah.
It was
also 26 issues.
No, there was a 3-issue Aftermath that was the search for Swamp.
Well, maybe that's
but that was a little more contained, though.
But that's what I'm saying, is it didn't make sense in any other book.
Maybe that's a criteria they should start using. If it doesn't belong in any of the main books,
don't do it. Yeah.
Doesn't need to be told.
Well, that is one of my fears, because we just got the postcards for Battle Scars. We were looking at the cover for the new Fearless that I honestly don't know what the market for that is. And then smack dab on the cover of the new Marvel previews is Cable Avengers X Sanction, and
I'm not getting that.
It's just one of those. Okay, wait. So you know the Avengers just made it through Fear Itself. Now Cable's coming back hunting them. Why? But also, that's not a good thing.
My point.
Yeah, so I look at this and I just go, God, can we just have some stories for a while that aren't, that everything doesn't tie into?
They promised that with Heroic Age.
Right.
It lasted all of
4 months, six months maybe. But yeah, I'm looking at Shattered Heroes, a 12-issue bi-weekly series, but, you know, with Valkyrie and Sin. I don't know if they can sustain a book.
You know what?
I will put 2013 is the earliest we see the X-Sanction hardcover.
One big thing about the about Marvel books right now, there's too many characters crossed in the other books. Like, they're all
well, here,
the
yeah. I'm just looking at, here's the cover of Avengers Academy with X-23.
And I don't understand why they can't see that people aren't really probably going to want to get, like, Avenging
cover.
Spider-Man. Like, you know, he's already on the Avengers. I can read about his adventures.
It's Marvel team-up.
Yeah, but I care.
Oh, and
that the whole universe was getting drawn down the line. Team Wolverine, team whoever else got the other one,
yeah.
Cyclops or whoever.
Did you see the artist on Captain America?
Alan Davis?
Yeah, that's going to delay it.
Eh, I don't know about that. But we'll go over it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be flipping through this right now.
Next week.
We'll go over this next week. And this crappy artist on New Avengers. Who is this guy?
I'll try to call him next week from New York.
He's been on it for
a while. Yeah, the main thing, I know you weren't here when we started. I figured, can't really do the previews now as everybody's going to take them home, but when you read them with maybe a little bit of a critical eye, and we'll talk about them next week. If you can call in, if not, it's going to be more of a previews episode, so your expertise may not be needed.
Running around the con, hopefully. I got the. If anybody goes to New York Comic Con, I'll tell you one hint is to get the VIP pass. It's totally worth it.
Well, Nick, what you should do is record a couple video interviews while you're there.
Yeah.
And send them over, and we'll put them up on the website. Our field reporter, Nick.
Oh, I could do ones of myself very easily.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fine. I can do that.
You can give us the big scoop.
Yeah.
Tell us what's coming.
Sure, because with Twitter, then I'm not
Yeah.
That's why I haven't gone to panels in like three or four years. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Bleeding Cool and CBR.
Yeah, like in the beat. Yeah,
they're just tweeting it right there and then. Well, so, like, why bother? I mean, I'm going to the Adventure Brothers one on Friday. That's my big concern. But after that, I mean, I'll find out.
So, what are you looking forward to instead?
Instead of panels?
Yeah, instead of panels. Like, what are you looking forward to doing?
Well, I mean, I know there's like. I go to a lot of cons, but like.
Umpteen thousand things.
I map out my time. And the first thing I do is, first day, I make my checklist of artists. And I go right at them. 1, 2, 3, 4. And figure out what it costs to get a commission. Tell them what I want. And then say, thanks, I'll be here all weekend. Take your time. And then I go from, you know, I knock my top ones out, depending on how much, you know, we're talking about here. And after that, I just, you know, I try to talk to creators and, you know, buy stuff and just meander. But I've got 4 days, so a little bit of time.
No, that's cool. I had only been to my first convention this past May, so I'm not very settled into the whole convention experience.
Which one was that?
Pittsburgh Comic Con.
That's not so you haven't been to a con yet.
Yeah, it's not the big, you know, it's like San Diego or New York.
It used to be.
That's more like a warehouse sale with a couple artists.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, that's
yeah, my friends do that because it's like and they don't have a cost to do a table. Well, it's so cheap.
If that's the case, then there is extra room in your suitcase for me to just tag along, right?
Well, there's extra room in my suitcase always when I go to a con, but when I come back, there's never.
That's okay. I'll hold all the books on the way back.
Yeah, I did Chicago a couple times when I lived in Erie, PA, and I did the drive specifically because we wanted to have the whole car to take stuff back. You know, I'm doing a flight this time, so my friend lives in New York.
Right.
We're going to try to, you know, if it's too big, like I'm looking for a nice bat lift, and, you know, I'm going to have to probably ship that back. But, I mean, everyone needs a good bat lift.
Yeah,
why don't you just take the Batcopter to New York? I mean, right. There's going to be a helipad there for you.
You can take
I'm thinking Zeta Rays are probably the cheapest way.
You can take one of the Bat Whirly gigs just to get around the floor.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
Or Job's Segway.
From the guy that drove it off the cliff?
No.
Segway that. Yeah, what did he write on the front of it? President?
Yes.
He had a good business model.
Yeah.
I love that you're just discovering this show now. Where were you?
I know.
When we were writing Letter Camp.
Well, I know. I'm sorry.
It's the best time for him to now that they've announced that it's coming back.
Yeah. Thank you, Netflix. See, everybody hates Netflix. It's.
I love it.
I know, but no, everybody's yelling about it and complaining about it. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
I love the service. I hate their business model.
Oh, well.
I just thought
I never did the DVDs and the mail stuff because I thought that was obnoxious, but the streaming is great.
I mean, I agree.
There's no reason. I don't understand why everyone's upset about Netflix if that's all you're doing because that hasn't changed.
Yeah, the only thing it's getting better, but the only thing I get irritated about is how limited it is, but I still love it.
Yeah,
but it's
selection.
Such a nominal cost that, like,
That's the thing.
It, what difference does it make?
It's still a nominal cost, basically.
Because we always want more.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's less than $20 for both.
I have full cable and that. You know, a DVD collection.
Did you say you have multiple cables? Cable companies?
No. I have the full cable and I have Netflix. But in addition to that, I every Tuesday at Best Buy, you'll find me getting the new stuff too. It's all covered.
I do wish Netflix had more of the DC stuff.
Nick, I would love to see your entertainment. Okay.
They have a lot of Marvel cartoons, but they don't have a lot of DC.
It's called paycheck. Yeah.
It's a fair percentage.
Well, Sarah's rolling in it, so.
Right.
That's why you're in Cleveland.
So what did you guys think about American Vampire last week? Wow, how did you really read that?
I'm waiting for
reading it in
the soft covers.
Yeah.
I'm really interested by the series.
Nice try.
It's just I'm this far along now
You got to go hardcover. Softcover, you're going to be waiting for 3 years.
No, the volume one softcover just came out today.
I don't know how I feel about the
available at finer stores near you.
Like the big omnibus hardcovers that DC puts out, like 10 or 13 issues a piece, that in hardcover I think is fine, but like 6-5 issues in a hardcover I just think is really silly.
Yeah, especially $25.
Yes. I think one of the last hardcovers I got was Grant Morrison's first Batman and Robin hardcover. And I got that because I really liked it, and I liked the...
It's a cool cover.
Yeah, well, I liked the design they did in it, and I liked all the extras they put in it, but at the same time, I don't like the oversized hardcovers for just 6 issues. It's really kind of thin, and it just feels like I have a big... I have a stack of thin cardboard pieces in my hands. I can just chuck it across the room like a Frisbee. You know, like, if it's only 6 issues, I'd like the soft cover. It just feels...
If I'm going to rant about anything like this, it's the fact that I hate dust covers, and I
really?
Love
mm-hmm.
I do hear you,
stuff like The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
they
I
seem
definitely
to be worse
think,
on
yeah.
thin books.
What?
They need to get rid of them, because all of my...
I take them off as soon as I read them.
Yeah, my Teen
reading.
Titans games, every one of them has come in with a damaged dust jacket.
I'll agree with you on that.
They're
like,
worthless. Look at
that. No, I know. Just make the perfect bound. Or, you know...
Yeah, I wouldn't...
$5. I always like the hardback. Once you take off the dust cover and it just has the name on it, I always like that for some reason.
Yeah. As soon as I start reading it, the first thing I do is take it off and set that back on the bookshelf and read it without the jacket.
I've never read a book with the dust jacket on. That just sounds really awful.
Yeah, it's what
some people use it to, like, mark their page. And I see those people at the airport. I'm like, what are you doing?
You're a collector. You're not just reading.
That's very true. Yeah, you
know, it's like those.
You fold
book
over
readers,
a page, the corner
that
of page.
Fold the corner. Yeah.
Heavens.
Oh my god. Even on a book that bothers me, non-comic book.
Don't do that to a bound thing.
What'd you read? Just all the DC stuff.
Oh, okay. Shane only knows to talk DC. So
DC is like a couple like True Blood, Ninja Turtles, just mainstream stuff. I don't read it. Marvel.
Did we ever talk about Marvel's not mainstream.
We never did talk about Game of Thrones.
That was a pretty big indie release.
You got some
that I think a lot of people here got.
Yeah, I know Justin. Well, did you read it?
I did.
Well,
you bought it?
I read three copies of it.
No. Did you read a third of each cover or each copy? Or?
No. No, I just put two, just got it going.
I thought the
stack you bagged and boarded at some point.
The adaptation was well done. I wasn't a fan of the art, but in terms of story, like if you've read the books, it did a really good job of capturing the first couple pages of the book.
I like that it.
So it's going to be a long,
1,000-page book.
Yeah. I mean, the pacing was good. It actually covered a lot of the book, and I didn't feel like it was very rushed. But again, like I didn't like the art; it wasn't my style.
And you had said Dan read it. I didn't read it. You had said that so much of the story in the show, in the book, is based upon location and where you are from and what's going on, and they didn't really make note of what location they were in. So if the story's totally new from you, totally new for you, it could be very confusing. Are they in the north? Are they in the south?
Yeah. Or across the sea? That was one thing I really had a problem with. It did not identify where
the story
was going.
It's not bad in Game of Thrones itself, but it gets worse as the story goes on. You start ending up being in a ton of places.
You still need to understand where Danny is, where the wall is, where King's Landing is.
I mean, you got three places.
If you don't understand where that is, then you just think they're all in the same place. Like, all of a sudden it flashes to Danny and her pervert brother, and you're just like, okay, well, they're talking about getting
Matt
back.
Matt just, his ears perked up, what?
They're talking about getting back to the throne. Well, are they not in the same land as the throne? Like, it doesn't say that, so it's, you know, for a new reader, they're probably like, well, what I don't understand.
I think you could do, like, different settings for three and make it work to some degree.
Just put a
but
little
once
note
you get,
on
oh,
the page.
I agree, they should put a note, but
just say,
it's not.
In Pentos, and then have, like, you know, like a little description where Pentos is compared to where, you know, the
or have a map in the corner. Just have a map. You could do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
See, the comics interested me because I've never. My brother-in-law and my sister are just like super into Game of Thrones. They've read the books and
read
everything.
The books.
And that's exactly that's the way I feel I should be going. I should just read the books, and that's how I feel about most comic media tie-ins. Like I should just read the source material.
How can you read real books when you have so many comics?
That's
the problem.
That's actually one of the better adaptations because my thing was Game of Thrones is a very dense book, and you look at a book like that and you're like, how are they going to adapt this to a comic series? Yeah. And it seems like at least they're in it for the long haul because, as Dan said, the 30-page comic really only sums up about you know, 20 pages of text.
Oh, wow, all right. That's
of cool, like yeah. a 400 or 500 page novel.
Right, it's so, over six.
Yeah. So, like I mean, it's not like they skipped that much stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it was right. it was a pretty decent adaptation.
There's not a lot to skip.
I will say, I totally understand your point about geography. I think what they were at least making an attempt to do, they could have done a little bit better job, you know, letting you know, but... At least they did show when it was in the wall and everything. It was winter. It was dark. Like, they at least tried to show you with the color versus the scenes with Danny. It was warm and orange, and you could at least tell, you know, these are two totally different places.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it should still tell you.
Because it's a comic, and you can do things like that with color locations. That you can't. Okay. So, you know, sometimes you don't need to say everything, but... With something like this, they should probably at least let you know, because, as you say, as it goes along, it gets...
Well, you're going to get to
harder and harder to keep track.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, the fifth book. Did you read the fifth book?
Not yet.
The one that just came out? Well, I mean, it's just like...
It's okay.
There's more stuff, and some stuff still hasn't been resolved, so they need to clarify where everything is, you know, right. to set it up.
But it was one of the better, like, book... Comic cool. adaptations. Yeah, I think it could have some legs.
And one thing I kind of like about it, I didn't read it, but I just like the idea of it being Dynamite's really coming up here. You know, with Game of Thrones, they have, you know, the Red Sonja stuff that doesn't do great, but it's just they're really kind of making a name. The Bionic Man, the Green Hornet, the all this Kirby stuff that's coming. Probably. It's just kind of neat seeing this smaller publisher,
Voltron.
Really, yeah, Voltron, really stepping it up, even with the boys. Coming to an end.
Small team Dynamite Night.
It was. That was a very sad. Well, this issue was very, very sad. The last two issues and the last Butcher of the miniseries was very sad. And then you have IDW, who, you know, made their name for themselves with Transformers. They're doing big with G.I. Joe. Now seeing the Turtles taken off. It's just neat seeing, you know, it's not just Marvel and DC or Marvel DC Image.
And the
Dark
two
Horse.
Companies, obviously, when you're not Marvel and DC, your bread and butter is licensed properties, you know. But what I like about what Dynamite and IDW do is they take the licensed properties, but they tell original stories. Like, they tell good stories. Mm-hmm. You know, they just happen to use these characters, and that's... You know, kind of the best way to do it if you take these concepts, but rather than like regurgitate something or slap, you know, a young writer artist who doesn't have good storytelling ability just to get it out there. Like they produce quality comics that just happen to have the license banners on them.
I agree. Even the Star Trek that came out, what was it? Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I might actually read it. Going forward.
That's the cool. new movie continuity. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, which, you know, it's funny because I'm not a Star Trek guy. Sorry, Nick. But I watched that movie.
Accepted?
Yeah. But I watched that movie and I loved it. And, you know, having stuff. A little bit of knowledge of the stuff, you know, when you have the, you know, are you out
you
of
like
your
Star
Vulcan
Wars, right?
mind?
Right.
Yeah, I like Star Wars.
So that movie is for you.
He
yeah,
likes Doctor Who. So you know, he's
yeah.
not that bad. Man.
How about that Doctor
it's
that season finale?
You know, it's got more of the Star Wars feel to it.
Yes.
Did you hear who's taking over Doctor Who come January?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Your buddy, Joshua Hale...
Fliktikov?
There's no
Fialkov.
T. Yeah. But, you know, I've never read any of the comics. But what do you think of the season finale, Nick?
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, but then... if you buy into the conceit of the show that essentially everything is a little bit sappy... And everything is—it's not sci-fi; that it's fantasy, and that it's basically the idea that love conquers all and all that stuff. Then you're gonna love the show. If you expect like a hard sci-fi kind of like darker thing, then you're not.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to next season with the Stealth Doctor. That's gonna be fun.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what was cool is they set that up in that.
Yeah.
But what got me the most was, and this is like if we can do a little spoilers is. Is that I've been really
Spoilers.
Thinking about it. I get Doctor Who magazine and Doctor Who Insider every month.
Okay.
You know, so
he's committed.
Yeah. And the question, you know, I've been really thinking about, like, what's the question? They said it's the most obvious question.
Well, yeah.
And,
they gave it away at the end.
What's up?
They told you the question at the end.
No, no, I'm saying, leading up to that, I was like, I was really thinking about it. You know, I'm like, what is the question? You know, like they said that it's in your face and it's obvious and it's the oldest question. And it's Doctor Who. That's such a genius conceit to, you know, actually give something to that title and, you know, make it part of the show in time for the 50th anniversary in 2013.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that.
Does Nick work?
Nick, do you Nick work? Nick works, yes.
Oh, I work a ton. I work a lot, but I mean, it's sleep that sacrifices.
But
it's not the work,
but
I can assure you.
You were here at the podcast where
I started a new job, actually, a couple weeks ago.
You were here at the podcast where we read Superboy in about 13
I was
seconds.
Here for that. And when he was pumping through books like crazy, I'm like, how is this going on?
You start talking about a book, and 30 seconds later, Nick's like, so I just read this.
I can read pretty fast.
Nick, you're a Wikipedia man.
But he misses the nuances reading that.
Oh, right.
No, I reread. I mean, when I was reading like that afterwards, I reread. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't waste time, you know? Like, I probably miss a lot of, you know, the white noise stuff and maybe watching the grass grow. But if I'm in the bathroom, that's two comics. you know, like everything is like, how do I fit this in right before I go to bed?
If he's not feeling well, hon, I need another comic.
That's a three.
Bring him a short box.
Honey, it's going to be a four book thing.
And with that, I think we can wrap up this week. I know
the
best
Marvel book came out last week. I forgot the
name. Oh, I'm sorry. What was the best Marvel book?
Deadpool Max. Oh. Number 12.
You and the other two people off. Who are reading it.
I don't know. What about X Factor? It was almost wolfless. That
you know what? They actually shorted me, and I had just enough for subscribers. And then when I got my replacements in this week, I'm looking at the cover, going, I don't even remember this book. So that was a little bonus for me this week. I get to take that home.
It was a point one. Right?
No, it was the one after the point one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's point a two. Real issue, and it doesn't have anything to do with wolves.
I thought they'd pretty much wrapped up the wolf
she
thing.
She did go into wolf form, but only for a brief second.
But not a wolf baby.
But it wasn't like six wolves talking about...
Or no, that did that get wrapped up?
Yeah.
With Rumpelstiltskin or whoever that was?
That was Agamemnon.
Oh. Agamemnon. Oh my
god. Yeah.
From Hulk?
I don't even know what's happening.
Okay. I don't know either.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Ryan has just tipped over in his chair.
I don't know. I just kind of took it as... Okay.
I feel like we're talking about four things at once.
We kind of do. But,
that's my fault for not reading.
But listeners will be happy. No, stop.
Oh, can I say one more
thing
about Marvel? Something that kind of blew my mind and I think kind of flew under the radar. The Silver Surfer is now again tied to Earth, and he can't leave Earth. And if he does, his power diminishes. He's no longer the Herald of Galactus. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of a big deal.
Was that in Mighty Thor?
That was in Mighty Thor. Yeah,
okay.
and it was kind of like thrown in
set
at the
up
end.
For Defenders.
Yeah.
Is it
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was. That wasn't at all where I thought that story was going. And as you say, it was kind of a neat little way.
Yeah, because, I mean, maybe now he'll be back in the fold a little bit.
And even more interesting, you know, considering what little comic things happen that cause a stir on the internet, Galactus's new herald is a minister.
A minister, yeah. I thought that was funny.
And when you think about what the Herald of Galactus, what that job entails, and putting a minister in that, I was like, well, that's interesting.
There's definitely some irony there.
Huh?
Who wrote this?
Fraction.
Fraction.
Hmm.
Which leads us right into Tannerus. Okay.
Shillelagh,
yes. So the listeners will be happy we kept this one about an hour and a half. So we won't
That's
hurt.
Half the time is left.
It is, yes. I got a lot of comments on that. So we'll try to keep these a little shorter.
We
could go on. So we'll go next week. We'll look at the previews. We'll talk about some of DC Week 2 and see what people are liking, especially this first week. Got to give a little shout out. I thought, just a little preview, I thought Swamp Thing and Animal Man were vertigo-ific and were great. But I don't know how they're DC books. But hey, we'll talk to you next week. See ya. Get down.
say, then you say, till you feel it, y'all. Get down, y'all. Get down, y'all. Get up, y'all. With the